to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White. Joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
I couldn't be more excited for today's show.
Yeah, no, I think this is a really interesting topic.
Yeah, and I'm a sucker for any time you can kind of, like, changing how you think about something, like, just kind of almost like,
conceptually
at the highest level, how that drives tactical, real change on the ground. Not to give too much away, but I think any time that we're kind of swimming in those waters, I'm interested.
For sure. And when that, you know, kind of fundamental change in thinking of an offering also changes how you have to talk about it and how you sell it and all of that. Oh, I love it. Anyway. Yeah, so let's get right into it. So joining us today is Angela Jackson. Angela is the marketing director at Clark Pacific. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Angela, it's awesome to have you on the show. We didn't put you too much on the spot there with that intro, did we?
No, not at all. I have a lot to live up to here.
we don't need to jump right into it, however. I think first things first, it would be lovely for our listeners to learn a bit more about Clark Pacific and how you ended up there. So please tell us a bit about the firm and a bit about you.
Okay. Clark Pacific, we've been around for 60 plus years. We were founded by Jim Clark back in 1963 and primarily focused on architectural systems. So building envelope systems, architectural precast. And the company is currently run by his two sons, Bob and Don Clark. And since then, we've expanded our reach from not only facades, but full structural systems and moving into prefabricated building systems. So, you know, complete data centers, complete office systems, and complete parking structures, but also evolving our prefabricated facade systems to include the insulation, the frame, the weather barrier, finishes, and the fire safing. So really taking these building systems off-site, manufacturing them, and then transporting them to the site for erection. So think of it as Legos. So we're designing and building and through modeling and manufacturing and then assembling on site like you would like a Lego set.
I have a lot of questions about that, but before we get into that, why don't you tell our audience about yourself too?
So before coming to Clark Pacific about 9 years ago, I spent about 15 years in sales and marketing in the high-tech industry. So my last position was in a construction software company where I marketed project and program management software to owners. And after 4 years there, I was asked to come over to Clark Pacific really to help them transition into this product from this project to this product mentality. And the audience was the same. So we were still going after owners, architects, and general contractors, but just in a different product and different industry. We're a manufacturer, not a software developer.
I think the thing that still strikes me as really interesting, even though we've been hearing about prefabricated building materials and building envelopes and even whole structures for a while, but it's still not the most common way of thinking about it, is it?
Yes, prefabrication, that is, it's a misconception that prefabrication is that modular building moving down the highway. And we've spent a lot of time showing people what you can do with prefabrication. When you think about the building the project offsite, the efficiencies that you can get with designing for manufacturing and then assembling it on site. And, you know, we can achieve great things that you can't achieve in the field. So various finishes, complete systems. So really it adds a lot to an architect or an owner's project if they think about prefabrication before they even start designing their project.
Yeah, I mean, the benefits of manufacturing within a controlled environment and the quality control that happens there versus doing it all on site. I mean, there are a ton of benefits. It's interesting that Jeff pointed that out, like that challenge would persist. Because I was thinking, you also have made a career out of working in a field that has some of the most challenging buyers to reach. Like, building owners and people in the contracting space are just notoriously difficult to get in front of.
They are. And I know when, and they all have their own, you know, everybody comes together for the good of the project. And, you know, the way I market it is, the way Clark Pacific looks at it is we target the owner, because the owner is the one ultimately that has to live with the project or the, you know, the building after everyone else goes away. So, you know, helping them create a stakeholder team that can help them achieve what they want. So we spend a lot of time educating architects on the value of prefabrication, how to design for prefabrication, so that they can take that benefit back to the owner. And if the project makes sense, you know, explain that this would be another option than traditional build. Same with general contractors. There's a lot of efficiencies that can be found on the job site, you know, with just reduced site impacts, the speed of the installation of the building envelope or the structural system. And that benefits the general contractor. It gets them off the site faster, but then ultimately the owner can take control of their building faster.
So Angela, I want to kind of unpack this, kind of understand what you mean by that transition from project to product. And then I guess once I understand a little bit more about what you mean, I'm guessing I'm going to pepper you with a whole lot of other questions about what that's meant. But I guess what is so as you say that, can it kind of help us understand what you mean when you say that?
Certainly. In years past, before we decided to productize, we would create a building envelope system that was bespoke to a particular project, and viewed as the subcontractor, either, you know, the general contractor or the owner developer. And so each building facade or structural system that we manufactured was bespoke. And we're a manufacturing company, and as all your manufacturing listeners will know, is that it's really hard to gain manufacturing efficiencies if everything you manufacture is different. So in about 2016, it was, hey, let's approach the market different. Let's create products based on what we're already doing, where we do have efficiencies, and make it easier for the architect to spec a certain product that will achieve their goals, or the owner or the general contractor. And with that, we changed our perception of how we looked at the market. We went from, let's look at a project and how can we develop a system for that project, versus now let's look at the market and develop a product that will work in that market. For instance, student housing has specific needs, a multifamily housing. And as we're developing the product, what are the scopes and the systems that need to be created and productized to meet the market's needs, versus looking at it as from a project basis? So what does the market need? And with that, then in 2017, we announced really our first product, and that was Park, a complete parking structure. So it was very difficult in 2017 to market a complete parking structure. That's not how owners and developers buy a parking structure. They hire a general contractor who subs out all the concrete work and all the other MAP systems, and then we're marketing a parking structure as a complete system that we will design, manufacture, and build the complete parking structure. And it was a shift in how we market, how we approach the market, because now with going to market with a parking structure as our product, that we were able to, you know, position differently for the market's needs versus a project need.
I wonder, I mean, you know, how do you prototype a parking garage? You know, I understand how you consider prototyping the components and, you know, but even a huge facility, a parking garage fully realized is probably too big. So how do you go about prototyping this so that you can understand the whole thing as a product?
So great question. So before we productized Park, we productized the parking structure, we had probably another 10 or 15 years in structural, manufacturing structural systems. So taking all the things we've learned over the years around the various components that go into a parking structure and modeling. So we rely heavily on modeling. And what's really different about prefabrication is that once we model it, then we design it for manufacturing and we model it again for manufacturing. And so really we're going through several stages of modeling and clash detection before we start manufacturing. And so we can prototype and look for inefficiencies and really look to see if we have the most efficient solution that we can offer to the client. And then through just efficiencies and repeating this product mentality that we're able to make changes to the product so that it's continually getting better and more efficient in itself for manufacturing and also for installation.
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing because from a marketing perspective, I can see, you know, when the only thing that you have in your backlog is a whole bunch of projects that you've done, and they're all different and for different types of people, and they all have their own little nuances. You can probably find yourself, whether it's in the marketing or sales part of the process, almost spending a bunch of time justifying why, or, you know, kind of trying to explain why it's a hard thing to talk about. Look, everything's custom, and that's, but the second you shift to thinking about it as through a product lens, well, then products have consistent characteristics. It allows you to see, and it almost facilitates a way of talking about the things that between those projects that were the same.
You have SKUs.
Yeah. Is it just, have you found that's what has done is really just helped you be more consistent and efficient in your communications?
Very much so. We find that being able to talk about the product and then what is consistent on that across all customers and all markets is much easier. So, you know, what's consistent in our product is the, for instance, in our building envelope system, it is a frame, the insulation, the weather barrier, the finish, and optional the windows. And so that's taken care of from a product standpoint. And then where the architect can come in and say, okay, I want this product and it's designed for me. The connections are set. I now don't have to worry about the constructability of this envelope system. And I can worry about what it's going to look like. So what is the color? What is the finish? What is the, you know, the revelations, you know, the patterns. So there's a lot of flexibility once they get in the front of the building, what people see every day, and really what's productized and what we've designed our manufacturing standards on is what's behind that wall, behind that facade.
Architects and designers are notorious, and I say this as a person with a design background, for wanting to be able to do everything their own way. But then when given systems, they actually typically kind of come around. But do you find that part of the challenge of marketing this as a product is getting them to think within the constraints of the system and still be able to achieve something that meets their unique requirements?
Yes, it's, you know, again, getting back to your question earlier on prefabrication, when people thought of it, is just, you know, that box maybe moving down the highway. And so with that comes that they don't get design flexibility. They don't have the flexibility to achieve the design intent for either their vision or the project's vision. And we do spend a lot of time explaining and educating on, no, that's not true. If you think about prefabrication in the very beginning, and you take the product and understand how to design to that, then really you have the design flexibility is there. We have, with the different finishes and systems and materials, we can do a lot as far as achieving a lot of different looks and feels for all types of projects.
In that education work, I guess I'm kind of curious on both sides of it. I'm wondering what the biggest challenge has been in it. And I'm also curious what is... what you found to be the most successful in communicating these messages, like what tactics or approaches. So maybe I'll choose your own adventure there, Angela. You can answer either of those questions.
You know, so really when we started this journey of launching products in 2017, it was really, we spend probably 90% of our time back in 2017 and probably through 2023-24 really, just educating on offsite construction. What is prefabrication? And ways we did that are through lunch and learns, webinar series, email nurture campaigns. I listened to a recent podcast you did with Stephanie Nolan at Square Robot. And, you know, her challenge is they have the robots that go into the tanks and no one knows about their products. So how do you do that? And how does she educate the market? And I really enjoyed listening to that podcast because it was, okay, we're doing a lot of those same things. And yeah, it's just all about educating your audience on what's possible. And our sales cycle is 18 months, usually anywhere between 12 to 18 months. And so before anything gets put on paper, we're out trying to educate and explain how you go about designing for prefabrication and getting that as something that might be considered for their next project.
I mean, part of me thinks that, you know, if somebody doesn't have a project on the horizon that's an ideal fit for this scenario, maybe they're not as open to being educated about it at that point. Do you find that that you kind of have to be sniffing for when, like timing the education around an opportunity, or were you just happy to kind of run out in advance of those opportunities and invest in educating the market more broadly?
Really, it's the latter, running out and educating the market more broadly, and then looking at our account lists and owners and developers and architects that we've done business with in the past and educating them further on when do you bring in our product, when do you start thinking about our product and designing for manufacturing. And a lot of times, you know, as we made that shift from, you know, pre-2016, I'll say, to post-2016, it's when you bring us in. So the most efficiencies in manufacturing is when we're in schematic design and to spec the product and design within the product parameters versus, I'd say, pre-2016, or we were trying, like I said, everything was custom. We were designing everything to be custom, and that, you know, we weren't getting the manufacturing efficiencies. And so we were able to do some great things, and we still do great things. It's just how, when they bring us in is different now. When, if they worked with us maybe 10 years ago versus now, is we like to be in the very beginning for that.
The folks delivering these solutions, not just the folks marketing them, but how have they responded to this? I'm curious, have the change management around moving to a more product-based approach, is there anyone sitting out there on your team that's feeling like they maybe don't get to exercise the creativity that they used to, or is everybody fully leaning into this?
You know, that's a great question. And I would say from a cultural perspective, we are, at the same time that we did the switch from that project to product mentality for our market, we also had to do a lot of education and marketing to our internal teams on why this was important to approach the market in this way, why we need to productize and why we need to standardize. And I think, you know, I'll speak for all 1,400 employees, I feel like everyone's still able to exercise their creativity, because even with the productization and everything being standardized on the back end, there's still so much room for design and some really fun different designs and aesthetics that we can achieve. And then there's always the how do we make the challenge of how do we make it more efficient? How do we make this more efficient for manufacturing, and how do we make it easier to install and where can we gain more efficiency? So there's it's a different challenge, but there's still, you know, there's still a fun challenge that this productization mentality has brought to our internal teams.
I love that the notion that you can still find creativity within systems and kind of bring that, you know, to the problem solving that your team is having as well. Has there been a, you know, have you seen a marked difference in growth after moving to the productized offering over everything being custom before the 2017?
We have. We have seen what's been really exciting as a marketer is that we are now seeing our product spec'd in by architects and by owners. They are specing our product. So I feel that the education and the work we're doing through all the different channels that we're using is that we're reaching that audience, and now they're speccing our product. And honestly, for me as a marketer, that's been such a great win. It's just like, okay, like we're getting there. You know, it's they're understanding the product and its value, and it's just exciting.
Yeah, no, I can see popping champagne corks for that for sure.
Definitely.
There'd be times when you're making that transition where you'd be just thinking,
what are we doing?
Yeah, are we ever going to get spec'd? Are we ever going to get a gimme putt? Just give me one. You know,
this isn't more efficient. Yeah. What do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah. What are we doing here?
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that. It's funny. We interview marketers every week, and, you know, sometimes the celebrations and wins are few and far between. So it's really nice to have.
It doesn't mean that they're not there. We just typically don't take them.
are you saying we focus on the negative, Jeff?
No. I'm just saying we overlook the wins and the positives and don't necessarily celebrate them to the degree we should.
Yeah. You're probably quite right there. I guess, Angela, as we turn our attention to what's next, I mean, you mentioned that you felt like almost you were in education mode until about 23, 24. So am I reading too much into it to suggest you're now seeing that you're pivoting into a new evolution in the marketing? I guess what if you have to look in the crystal ball for the next year or two, how will your marketing be different in the next 2 years than it was in the previous two?
I think our marketing will evolve over the next couple of years as our product evolves. So as we create more standards and more product SKUs and different products, that this we will soon start marketing more of a portfolio of products for different markets and different use cases. I don't see the education portion of the marketing going away, because there's constantly new architects coming into the market, new owners and developers thinking like, maybe I need to try something different. I need a different outcome. What do I try? And general contractors too, who might be new to prefabrication that are saying, okay, I'm hearing a lot about this. I need to start learning more about this. So there's always a part of the marketing that we focused on education. A couple years ago, we did a Better Together campaign, and it really focused on the stakeholders and the benefits of the product and prefabrication for each of those stakeholders, because we were coming at it as a from the thought that if everyone knows the benefits for their other stakeholders in that project, then they understand, okay, if this is my benefit, but this is also benefiting the general contractor, this is also benefiting the owner, and how do we come together to make a better, you know, build a better building essentially for our customer, the owner. And then we've learned a lot as we've gone through this process over the last 8-9 years and continuing to look at how do we evolve our products and make those easier to spec and easier to design for. And so really it's going to be focused now on our product evolution and getting those into our different markets and different regions.
That makes total sense to me. That I mean, you're relatively new as a product-based company. So as you continue to manage and nurture those products and evolve them over time, then inevitably they'll become, you know, how you market them become more sophisticated, how the combinations of them for specific markets.
Verticals.
Yeah, exactly right. It makes sense. I really look forward to watching this unfold, Angela. My money is on you folks to pull this off. I think they can be very challenging industries to change. You know, the people are very stuck in their ways. But like I said, if I had to put any money on it, I'd say I think you guys got it sorted. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
No, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thanks, Angela.